The boy king Hezekiah, or young man king Hezekiah, came to the throne after his father and his grandfather, and I think his grandfather's father had led Judah down a path of living wickedly before God for a very long time. And it says that when Hezekiah was 25 years old, he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord, and he repaired the temple. He brought the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now, and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him, and they turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. And they also shut the doors of the portico and they put out the lamps. The anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror. This is why our fathers have fallen by the sword and why our sons and daughters are wives in captivity. Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense." So when Hezekiah comes to the throne, he finds the temple in disarray, and so he puts it back together. And I'm not saying anything about the congregation that was here, but the building had sat empty for a year, and it was sad. And I've talked to many of the former congregants who were sad that this building was sitting empty. And over the last couple of days, we've been working on restoring the temple, as it were, restoring the church. And then in the text in 2 Chronicles, it says, "Then these Levites set to work." And it has a whole list of names of the Levites: Mahath and Amasi and Azariah and Kish and Joah and Shimri and Jael and Mattaniah. And if they had slideshows back then, they projected big slideshows, and those were the guys that showed up in the slideshows. And so they honored the people that did the work. And then if you keep following the text down, they went through a process of working through the temple and cleaning out the temple. And then they moved to their own selves, and they worked on their own offerings. And it says this in verse 29, "When the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and they worshiped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and they worshiped. Then Hezekiah said, 'You have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord.' So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings." So I'm not going to preach a long time this morning, because what we're going to do is just that. We're going to spend some time this morning, and we're going to honor the people that did the work. And then we're going to continue worshiping together, and we're going to take communion together for the first time in this space. And then after that, well, at some point we'll ask you to bring offerings too, and we'll do that. And we have our offering box back there, and Kevin will talk about that in a little bit. But I want to start this morning by just talking about all the things that have happened in the last 3 weeks. I was thinking to myself one night when I was here late, you know those shows like Kitchen Impossible, where they go into a restaurant and in 3 days they overhaul the whole place? Well, we kind of did that, but restaurant? Come on now. How about a whole building? And so for 3 weeks we've been doing Restaurant Impossible here, and we've been working hours and hours, and a lot of people have done a lot of things. And I want to tell you, I wish I could tell you every little thing that everybody did. Oh, here's my notes. But you saw some of these things in the video out in the, I don't know what we're calling it, Fellowship Hall, Fernandes Hall, Mess Hall is the one I heard this morning that I kind of like the best. Out in all those places, we painted and scrubbed, and out there mostly just painting and scrubbing, and there was ladies that just cleaned the kitchen like nobody. I think Joan Keach kept bringing dishes, taking them home and bringing them back. I don't know where anybody sits now, by the way. You're all messed up, so I'm looking for people. People just kept washing dishes and cleaning up. And then in the Genesis classrooms, and we're going to invite you, by the way, at the end of the service, just to roam around the building and peek around and look at everything. But in the Genesis rooms, we carpeted the nursery. Thought that it seemed like, well, you saw the carpet name, right? Isn't that awesome? Jesse and I actually picked the carpet, and then she's like, "What's it called?" And I peeled that back, and then we lost it. How perfect. The nursery is carpeted in Fertile Valley.
so awesome.
And so that's a lot of area to carpet. So a lot of carpet went in there and paint. And Jessie, being a sports fan, didn't realize that she created an Illini room down there. So some of you are really – or Bears room. I refer to it as a Broncos room. But whatever colors you need to call it, it is. And then you saw the dramatic change out here in what we'll call the lounge. And just that place, at night especially, it's such a warm, inviting place. And we're going to do Sunday school classes there. And if groups are meeting, they can meet there. And then there used to be a wall right outside the sanctuary that we took out and added tables in there. And the booth that we used to not use so much at our other place will become the main place for children's check-in right outside the door. So you'll be able to walk straight out the door, turn right, and that's the place where you'll check your kids in to Genesis right there, all on the same floor. You don't have to go to a dingy basement anymore. And so, yes, you can clap. That's fine. And of course, everything in this building has been painted, I think. I was trying to think of places that haven't been painted. I think there's a couple closets, but I think everything else has been painted. And we knew coming in here that office spaces were going to be tough. And so we took the first two classrooms down the Sunday school hallway, and we carpeted them and painted them. And so Jesse, the first one on the left is going to be Dustin's office. And on Sunday mornings, it will double up as a Sunday school classroom. And then Jessie's office is the next one down, and her office then will double up on Sundays as the junior high Sunday school classroom. And so so those are pretty big offices during the week and pretty small classrooms on Sundays, but it works. And then over here, we reconfigured some space, and you can walk through afterwards. It'd be hard to imagine what it was, but we reconfigured space so that we have Ashby's office in the front and then my office right there where it says Pastor's Study. And we made it bigger so that we can do classes or have meetings in my office as we need right here. And so a lot of carpet in all those places and a lot of paint. And over here, we ripped out walls and reassembled walls and ripped out a ceiling and replaced lights and spray painted a ceiling and all kinds of things. And then in here, we've done a lot. There was a lot of stage furniture, I think you saw in the picture, that went away. And then one of the first things we noticed when you walk in this room and you clap is that sound echoed all over this room. And so the team there built these panels that hang across the back. Those aren't just decoration. They're not particularly great decoration. They're actually catching sound. And then what you can't see is behind the cross, there's a room back there. And it's our sound storage room and all that. But some guys came in the other night, and that whole wall now, what you can't see is a whole wall of insulation that collects all the sound, and this room is better than the one we were in by a lot, I think. I'll tell you, the bass is awesome up here. The subwoofer sits over there. That was awesome. What else? They installed new speakers and new projectors and brought the screens over, and you can't see that somebody ran electrical power along the back side of the beam to power the projectors, and somebody climbed up there and washed. There was just stuff up on the beam, and they washed the beam and washed the lights, and the room was painted. And what you'll never know unless you went here and you were in this building before is, obviously the big thing was, is we added a sound booth. There was no sound booth here. And so that sound booth was built and equipped, and we made it as big as we would like. Thank you very much. And so it's plenty big and does what they want it to do. They designed it. And then we took those two pews out, and along the front, where those of you are sitting in the front row, this was just a modesty wall across the front row. And so we took apart the pews that we took out and took apart the pews that were here in the choir loft and reassembled them and created a whole new row of seating that you would just never know that it wasn't seating there for since the church was built in the glorious year of 1974. This church is almost 40 years old. I know that. It's painful, but it's coming. And we ran wires to all those things. People climbed in the ceiling. All the way, there's a cat space up above the ceiling, and we had guys up there climbing in the ceiling to pull wires through. And
Why is that emotional? I'm a foolish person.
And outside, you saw the one tree falling down. There was a couple dead trees, and we took down trees, and the courtyard got totally made over, and people trimmed everything around this place and cleaned out lots of stuff. And I don't even know how many dumpsters full have gone out of here. We rented a Bubba dump. We should have rented it two more times. The other day, just for reference, the other day, the garbage guy came and he did our dumpster, and we ran out there real fast, and he let us keep loading it. And it had to be, it had to be eight. Dustin says six more times. I think eight. But anyway, it was just a bunch of stuff we just cleaned up. And some of it trash we made in construction, some of it just old stuff. And a lot of the former church members have walked through and gotten the stuff they wanted, and we're still working with them. There's a garage full of stuff that we've put in storage that they can get as they need it. And so that's all the scope of everything we've done in the last 3 weeks. But it's really, that's just the materials. It's the people that really, it's really overwhelming and amazing. I think we pretty much knew, we've probably known for 2 years, that it wasn't going to work over there. And so at least for the last year and probably even going back further, our resource team has been having long conversations about where do we go and what do we do. And it's not easy to move a church this size. You can't just move into somebody's house. Where do you go? And we've had long, hard conversations. And so I'm going to have a lot of people stand up this morning, I think. So I want the resource team, the guys that are on our resource team, to stand up. And what you don't see is the hours they've spent. There you go. There's two. There they are. Would you show them your appreciation? You can't know the hours that they've spent working on this and trying to figure this out. And about, I think it was in January, Bruce Hare gets credit. Bruce Hare came to me and said, Krista and I got married in this church when? A while ago. I saw the picture. It's 85. They got married and walked down this aisle, and he said the church that we got married in is closing its doors or has just closed its doors because he found out from his friend Jim Herman. I don't know if he knows Bruce. Jim is sitting over here. So Jim, will you just stand up real quick? Jim was a member of the church at Parkview, and he's here this morning. Just say yes, thank you, Jim. Make sure you meet up. Jim and Bruce were talking. Bruce talked to me, and we made a phone call, and it just kept rolling from there, and we thought, oh, we might as well look. And so the ball got rolling, and here we are today. We didn't do everything ourselves. We hired some contractors to do some things. Paint the sanctuary is one of those things we hired Mark Hinton to do, and the main hallway out here. And we hired Steve Harris to do a lot of our painting and oversee our painting projects. Steve, I'm sure, I know we're paying him. I'm sure we're not paying him everything he's owed. I don't know what we're doing, but we paid somebody to get signs up. They're not up yet. They'll be up next week, we hope. And there's somebody, I think, on the hook. We're hiring somebody to come in and paint the parking lot to make it look better and help you know where to go out there. But mostly, there's been 140 of you that have been here. And I would love to thank every single one of you personally. Some people say to me sometimes things like, I think of Molly Height, who came in one night and said, I'm really busy right now, and all I could do is bring chocolate chip cookies. But it matters. The littlest things matter. And that's just one. There's lots of people who have busy lives. I understand everybody has busy lives, and people who didn't have a lot of time, but at least could bring over a meal or stop by for a couple hours, do one little project, one little thing. And when you take 140 people doing one little thing and this little thing and that little thing, you get big things done. And so, thank you to all of you. But then there's people that
people that have just, I don't know how people, some people have done this. I mean, I'm paid to be here, you know, like it's my job, it's my life, you know, that's, I expect it of me, but I don't know. And I made a list, and I'm going to cry my way through the whole list. I'm going to grab the wine if y'all don't mind. We'll just keep this handy. I love jokes. Corey Brown is one of my oldest and dearest friends, and Corey came to me at some point in the project and says, oh, there's this little bathroom off over here, and we're calling it our unisex bathroom. It said it was handicapped but it wasn't really, like the door was, but you couldn't, the stall was such that really it wasn't really, and Corey decided to gut the bathroom and actually make it handicapped accessible. So we actually have a bathroom that's unisex that can be used, and there's a wheelchair in the building and I've tested it. I wheeled the whole building, it was really late one night and I was really tired, and so I wheeled the whole building in a wheelchair, tested out the sink, washed my hands, it all works. And so it's basically, and then there's a countertop in there for parents that need to change babies, because there's a few of them, Fertile Valley. And so there's a bathroom right there for parents that has a good changing station and single use and all that. And so Corey took the lead on that and did a lot of other things. There's been a group of women in the kitchen. I think most of my stuff has been over here, and I think most of them have been over there. But I think Bethany Threw and Holly Hamill and Leslie Harris were here just about every single day, painting and cleaning the kitchen and getting the fellowship hall ready. Like every, Bethany, where's Bethany? I don't know what your job is. I don't know how you were here every single day of the week for the last 3 weeks, painting and just doing anything asked with a smile. And Barb, is Barb here? I didn't see Barb this morning. Barb Brown. Barb, will you stand up, please? This beautiful woman comes in. What time do you get off work? 8:30. So most nights, many, many nights, Barb would show up at 9 o'clock at night, and I would shut down the whole building, and I would tell her just on your... You can sit down now. I would tell her on your way out the door, just close the doors, they'll lock. And at 9 o'clock at night, she would begin scrubbing on urinals. And every toilet in this church has been scrubbed by Barb. Yeah. And they were kind of just old, you know, and you go into them now and they shine. And I don't know how late you were here many nights, but I think she was here pretty late many nights doing those kinds of things. Where's Tom here? Tom is right here. Joan Keach called Tom and asked Tom about what plant we should put in the corner of the courtyard because we cut a dead one out. And Tom's response was the next day he called me and said, I have a crew coming over and they'll take care of it. And I counted 27 plants and a crew that put in rock and tore out a bunch of ugly stuff and made our courtyard beautiful. And so, Tom, thank you. Thank you. And Alan, I didn't really know you that well. I think a lot of people don't because you're pretty quiet and you are at second service usually. And Alan has been the master of all trades. And I was trying to think of a list of all the things you've done. The first night you came to me and said, what can I do? And you just don't know sometimes with volunteers how much somebody really knows and how much they're just eager. And so I was like, well, cut down this wall. We took a wall out down in Genesis area between two classrooms. And he's like, all right. And I came back and it was the neatest demolition of a wall I've ever seen. I usually just grab a sledgehammer. And he had neatly cut this wall into like planks. And then the guys hauled it out and it was beautiful. And then we were like, well, can you do this? And by the time it was done, I think Alan, I know he installed my doors and recut hinges and those kinds of things. He took one of our nursery doors and cut it in half so we can have the, you know, like a, you know what I'm talking about? Like, cut it in half. That's what he did. But that requires new hinges and new stuff, and it looks beautiful, and he's going to do more of them eventually. He gets a break. But eventually get all those done, and he installed electrical in the kitchen so that we can have the coffee over there in the mornings. Our coffee pot requires special electricity and plumbing and cabinetry, and I don't know what else you did. Loaned us scaffolding because we needed scaffolding, and so all the scaffolding you saw in the pictures, Alan loaned to us. And he's been here, I think, just about every night, too, with the others. And so would you show Alan your appreciation as well? Thank you. And Steve Martin is where? Steve. I just know when Steve walks in the door, I save jobs for Steve. Because I know a lot of fine carpenters. But there's none finer than Steve Martin. And he is so meticulous. I asked him to put polyurethane on my windowsills, expecting him just to do what I would do and slap a coat of polyurethane on the windowsills. And I come in there and find him sanding them down to bare wood, clamps on them, gluing them back together, loving those windowsills back into beautiful condition, and then polyurethaned, and they're beautiful. If you're in my office later, the windowsills are beautiful. And the biggest project we put Steve on right out of the chute was he's the one who installed all the front pews. And you don't understand what a big job that is. And if I didn't tell you that that pew was never there, you would never know. Because it just looks like it was always that way. And he carefully, so carefully disassembled the pews that we had to make the parts to get it all together. And it's not a straight pew. There's an angle in the middle of it. I don't know if you know anything about carpentry. That's not easy. And there's an angle this way and an angle on the seat. And it's just really hard. And Steve was here about every single night doing door frames and windowsills and this. And I had you working on cabinets. And I don't know what else. I save wood projects for Steve because Steve just does beautiful work. And so and then John Gill. Where is John? There you are. You're sitting down. I was just going to scan and find you. You all probably don't know John because John is newer to our church. And I was nervous about when we first walked in the space, there was no sound equipment here, nothing. And so we were a little nervous about what are we going to do and how much is that going to cost to get, because we didn't even own all the pieces over at Arcadia. Some of those pieces are stayed there. So we had to purchase some things, and we didn't know how to take care of the sound bouncing around and all that. And the day we did the open house over here, I came over, and Jeff Agin said, there's a guy you need to talk to. Well, first of all, John is 6'10". And I looked down the hallway, and I couldn't see him. I could only see Jeff standing in the hallway talking like this. Which was really, really funny. And I cracked up. I said, what is Jeff doing? And then I looked. I was like, oh, yeah. Met John. And John has some experience in sound and lighting and projectors. And basically did what we needed to do for about half of what we thought it was going to cost us to do. And you can't understand how complicated it is to do what he did. To know the right speakers to buy, to aim. You see they're not even hanging straight. They're hanging at angles. To know what angles to hang a screen at so that it covers the room in the right way and there's no hot spots and there's no dead spots that you can hear equally everywhere. To know how to take the equipment we had and to make it work. How to hang. You can't even guess how hard it is to get a projector to hang the right way at the right angle to the screen. And John and his crew, and John and Brian and Eric. John and Eric are the ones who are climbing up in the crawl space. In fact, Eric was up there so long he created a Facebook location called Imago at Parkview Crawl Space. And a couple of us are tagged in that space now, and hopefully never nobody will ever have to go up there again because it is hot and tiny and you're crawling on a drop ceiling. So it's precarious. And Thursday night was a really late night. I left here at 11, I think, which was about as late as I stayed. And I went home and I showered and I did the stuff I had to do and got to bed, and I came back in here and I got here at 8 o'clock Friday morning, and John was already here. And he was wearing the same clothes that I'd seen him at 11 o'clock the night before. And he had spent all night working Thursday night to get the sound system up and going and was here most of Friday and most of Saturday. And who does that, you know? And you don't even know us that well. So thank you. Where is Heather? Heather's way in the back. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Joe has been here, I think, every minute that I've been here. And Joe's the one who built the booth and designed the sound panels and cut down a tree and every project anybody was doing in the church and they needed a consultation, Joe got pulled into that too. And he's my friend and we're very sarcastic and have a lot of fun. And you hear me pick on him at church a lot and we have a good time back and forth. But Joe has poured out his life here. And just great ideas. And again, like Steve Martin, he's a craftsman. That booth is built, if you walked in here today, you would never know that that's new. You would never know that that wasn't always here and just always a part. And there's hardly a flaw on, if there's any flaws there, they're because the guys scratched up your countertop this morning. It's their fault. And I just appreciate you so much. And Joe has just put in hours, so show Joe your appreciation. All right. We're almost done with this. I promise, we're almost done. When you hire people for your business and you hire them to be a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer or whatever, or an accountant or a pastor, you don't say to them, hey, welcome to work. We hired you as a pastor. Put on your construction clothes because now you're a construction project manager for the next 3 weeks. You don't do that in regular jobs. You don't say to staff members, hey, if you want an office, you better paint it. Because that's the only way you're getting an office is if you do it. And I said a couple weeks ago at Vision Sunday how much I love our staff. And I do, and they have poured hours and hours well beyond what we pay them over the last 3 weeks. They've been here. Dustin got a little vacation in the middle, but when he didn't have his vacation, he was always the last to leave pretty much every night because eventually I'd wear out and I'm older than him. And so Dustin would stay and make sure everything got locked up. And Ashby, probably Jennifer might be the only one that knows the scope of what Ashby means to me, who Ashby is to me, however the right phrasing there is, but Ashby keeps things going and keeps things on task and keeps us organized. And I don't know how many hours she has spent on the phone with Comcast and others, but especially Comcast, just getting services moved and services up and a security system and bills and all that stuff, and has been here well beyond the hours that we pay. And Jesse has been here as well, hours and hours trying to get that hallway in shape. And none of them have experience in project management. I'm sorry. They just don't. And they've just gone way, way above what we pay them to do. And they've been willing. And I just want to acknowledge to all of you, they're tired. Well, they deserve to be tired because they've done so much. And so just announcement-wise, we've closed the offices for the next week because they deserve it. And so we're going to get together tomorrow morning because we miss each other. It's good to see them in regular clothes today because we've just been in work clothes. And so it's going to be nice to sit together tomorrow morning in my office and have coffee together and just to be together. And then we're going to take the rest of the week off, except Dustin, who's preaching next Sunday. He has to work a little. And there's just been so many of you that have been so kind and so thoughtful. And I'm going to go back to Joe Patterson, who grabbed me yesterday or the day before. They all run together right now, and said, do you need anything? And I said, well, I can't think of anything right now. He said, no, not for the church. Do you need anything? And I think of a friend of mine who stood in that doorway one day and walked in, and she put her hand on my back and said, you okay? You hanging in there? And last night I sat on these steps with some dear friends and cried because I'm tired, and I cry when I'm tired, and I cry because I'm Italian. And and we just sat here and cried together and prayed together, and who thought of me. And so at just a really personal level, thank you. And I know that's true of all our staff. I know there's people that have looked out for us and cared for us and tried to say encouraging things, except for the ones of you that keep telling me I look terrible. Thanks, I know. I do. And so just thank you. It's amazing walking. Jennifer and I came here last night. We did we had a wedding this weekend, and after we left the reception, it was for the first while just Jennifer and I walked around the building by ourselves, and just beautiful. You all do such beautiful work, and it's amazing. It's amazing to me that people have the skills that they do. Like, I mean, just the chalkboard sign. Those of you that came in the front, Allie can draw like that. Like, that's amazing. And our musicians and the sound and what they're capable of. And I'm just flabbergasted by the skills and the abilities of the people in this church. I didn't even mention we had women on their hands and knees scrubbing all the floors underneath the pews. And we had the carpets shampooed. I'm going to do this all afternoon. Think of all the things I didn't tell you that happened over the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand the mic off, but I just want to say a huge thank you. This is the part where they honor the Levites who did the work. And so let's just do this. One last round of applause for all 140 plus of you who have done all the work.
Looks so terrible, it's because he's been here a ridiculous number of hours over the last 3 weeks, and just his creativity and his leadership skills and his ability to take on such a big project and handle it and still get up here and teach and still do weddings is hard to quantify how important he is to this church. It's this one. It's also hard to quantify the sacrifice that Jennifer made over the last 3 weeks. So, this, if you're a visitor here, I'm really sorry. This has probably been extremely boring for you. But what this feels like to me is those first days in the basement, in my basement, where we're a family that's done something really cool together. And I love the fact that I can sit over there. And really, anywhere in this room, you can sit where you're sitting, and you can see faces all throughout the room, and you can think of what people have done over the last 3 weeks, and you can think of what people have done over the last 5.5 years for this church, and it's really humbling. So, thank you. Now I get to have the terrible job of talking about a building campaign in a church that doesn't talk about building campaigns or doesn't like building campaigns. And first of all, we're not going to do a building campaign, because what a building campaign means to me is that we hire somebody to come in and we print up a bunch of flyers and give out free pens and ask you to sign your pledge in blood that you will give this much over this period of time. I feel that our body is about transparency and honesty and just kind of laying it out how it is and then kind of a call to action. So I think about what's always repulsed me about building campaigns and it's charging people up and and trying to get them all fired up so that you can get a lot of money out of them. And I feel like I respect you all too much to do that. So I'm just going to tell you where we're at and what we've done and where we're going. And when I think about my life and before Imago Dei, for me, it was easier to give money than to actually give my time or to use any of the skills God had given me to further God's kingdom. Coming to Imago and just expanding my mind about how everything is spiritual has awoken me to the fact that it's not just my money. My money's not good enough, even though that's easy for me to do. The money part's easy. But the time and the talent, you know, the time and the skills they all have to be there because everything, God cares about everything. And so, so the 140 people that have been here with their skills and their time has made this happen. And then there's 21 families already that have given, that have totaled $15,000 towards paying for everything that we've done over the last few weeks. And that's not to mention the things that I'm sure people have bought and just lost the receipt or whatever. So we probably spent between, this is an estimate of what we were going to spend, and we'll see where we come out. I mean, receipts are coming in, but somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000 is what we spent, and we did have reserves so we could go ahead and do it. But we've cut into those reserves heavily, and over the next 12 months, we need to get back to a place where hopefully we can buy this place. So I'd like to build those reserves up again, and if we could pay for the building or pay for the move-in, that would put us in a really good place. So here's my idea, is that if everyone takes what they make in a year and take 1% of that, and give 1% of what you make, that would cover our move-in costs. So if you make $40,000 a year, that's $400. Or we don't need the money right away because we had the reserves. But to refill the reserves over the next 10 months, that'd be $40 a month for a family that makes $40,000. And then we can get back to where we need to be so that hopefully we can move forward and have a permanent home. So I think when I think of building campaigns, I don't want to say that it was over spiritualized, but I think it was over spiritualized. The fact is this is where we live. This is our place. And so we're all chipping in, and if we all chip in, it happens. We've seen that over the last 3 weeks with time and talent, and the gifts that y'all have. And then you chip in your shekels it's going to be an amazing story to tell. So you can do it online. There's no pledging. There's no cards. There's no free pens. I'm sorry. Many of you give on, I think something like 70, 80% of you give online anyway. So on a monthly basis. So if you just go on there and you can sign up for a monthly, you know, $40 a month or whatever it is, based on that 1%, and then just do it for 10 months. And we'd be flush. So, and if some of you want to do more, by all means. I know God's in it. So I don't think you need a special God giving you a word of what you should give. I just think everything's spiritual, and I think God's guiding every decision we make. So, I love you very much, and I'm excited about phase four of Imago Dei Church, and we'll see where we go from here. Thanks.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that what we're doing here today is we're trying to to thank the people who have helped us move in, but we're also here to dedicate this building and what we're doing here to the work of God through His Holy Spirit. And we're here to be reminded that God is not bound by the walls of this structure, but only by the limits of our imaginations and what we can do for Him and following His leading and what we do. And so we're going to be reminded about the five directives that we have here at Imago Dei. All right, so Imago Dei, let us be reminded of who we are.
We believe everything is spiritual, even where we meet as a church.
We believe we can serve the least of these here in this building and build each other up to serve outside of these walls in our everyday lives.
We believe we have not arrived at having everything figured out, but are doing our best to follow God's leading, which has led us here to Parkview.
God's love endures forever.
We seek to embody the work of Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as described throughout the Scriptures and church history.
We believe that God indwells each of us individually and as we gather as the body of the Imago Dei, wherever that may be.
I'm going to be reading John 17, 22 through 26. I have given the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Will you please stand with me as we pray together? Say this with me. God, indwell your people. May all be welcomed here, friend and stranger from near and far. May each be blessed and honored as they enter. God, give us your heart for all people. May this be a safe place full of understanding and acceptance where we can all be who we are without the need of any masks or pretense or image management.
God, let us know how to love everyone with urgency and not with haste.
May this place be a place of discovery where the possibilities that sleep in the clay of our souls can emerge to deepen and refine our vision for all that is yet to come.
God, may we bring out all the flavors and colors of your kingdom here now.
May we continue to learn what it is to be your people. May we always seek new ways to love one another. May we always lean into the leading of your Holy Spirit. Make us faithful, Lord. God, teach us to embody your grace and your peace to each other and to the world. And now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sanctify this place. We ask that you bless this church home, that you would bless this place from roof to floor, from wall to wall, from end to end. In the strong name of Jesus, all disturbance cease. Captive spirits freed, God's spirits alone dwell within these walls. Amen.